Web Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It is the Brad Sesmat Show on a Wednesday on Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports. My name is Jared Cohen of Sports360AZ, and that is Mark McClune of CBS 5 Sports. We've done this a few times before. It's great to have you back.
A few times. It's the most wonderful time of the year right now with all the sports coming to the Valley of the Sun. There's so much to talk about. We're going to need probably a couple hours here to get it all in.
And unfortunately, we don't, so we'll try to fit it all in. It's all jammed-packed. We've got a great show. We're going to be joined in about 10 minutes by Michael Fabiano, the senior NFL Network fantasy analyst. Always great stuff with him. And it has just been running back roulette if you're a fantasy football player. So he's going to talk us through and talk us off a ledge of what running backs are we going to play to get us into the championship game. I know I'm still alive in the playoffs in a couple leagues.
And is he a running back or a pro golfer?
None of us can tell.
Who are all these running backs right now in the NFL?
Is he a running back on your fantasy team or is he coming out of a retirement home?
Who are these guys?
That's the nice little teaser for our conversation with Michael Fabiano. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. At about 10:30, 10:35, hey, a familiar name, Bob Hurley Sr. Yes, the father of Bobby Hurley, Arizona State's head basketball coach. He's also the head coach for St. Anthony, a New Jersey basketball power, who's coming out to Chaptown, Chaparral High School. They are playing in the Hoop Hall West Classic. A lot of great teams in that tournament, going up against some local teams. So that's coming up. They play Corona del Sol on national TV on Friday, and then they play Shadow Mountain on Saturday. So we're going to talk to Bob Hurley Sr. about what's going to be a fun weekend for them.
Yeah, and it's actually warmer right now back in New Jersey than it is in Phoenix. Hopefully it's going to warm up by then, but CBS Sports Network, national television for their opener, and he's going to get to watch his son play on Saturday. You know, there is a little jinx there. I don't think he's seen his son win a game as a college coach. So he's
crazy.
Going on Saturday night. You would think Houston Baptist, though a formidable foe, that might be a slam dunk and a chance to see him win, but interested to get his thoughts on that, how the Sun Devils are playing, because I tell you what, that the Kentucky game, watching the first half of that, you thought, man, maybe this team can get in the tournament.
Yeah, it was good to see. We'll get his thoughts on the team from what he's seen from afar, plus his thoughts on Arizona basketball. It's his first time coming out here and getting an idea of the talent that's really improved. A lot of people say that football has really skyrocketed in Arizona, but basketball really has as well with some national-level recruits. And then a little bit later on, speaking of national-level recruits, N'Keal Harry made national news last night. We'll get to that before the end of the show, coming up a little bit later. But let's right now. The game was flexed, and this is a flex type of game if you're the Arizona Cardinals going up against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday Night Football, because you have the opportunity, Mark, with this win. If you get the win, you lock up the NFC West, and if the Packers lose to the Raiders in Oakland, which is very possible, because if you watch the Raiders at all this season, they're a fun team to watch. The Cardinals lock up at least the 2 seed.
Yeah.
And if they want to play for the 1 seed, that's great. That makes the Packer game the following week important. But they could lock up a bye. They could lock up not having to play for anything in week 17 against the Seahawks, which I think every Cardinal fan is hoping for. But a huge one on Sunday night against Chip Kelly and the Eagles.
Yeah, and I, when the schedule came out, I had no idea that at this point in the season, no clue that there might not be anything left to play for. They might be able to rest their players. You looked at the Eagles, you looked at the Packers, you looked at the Seahawks to finish the season.
Even the Vikings
last Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cardinals have handled their business. It has not been pretty all of the time, but they find a way to get the job done. They find a way to handle their business. And right now, you know, the Seahawks are coming. I'm a little worried about them. But what the Cardinals have done to this point in the season is the story of the NFL this season, in my opinion. I mean, the Carolina Panthers blowing people out, but I don't know that everybody trusts them right now as the number one seed and can't see the Cardinals going there and winning a playoff game.
I know a lot of people are up in arms about, because you mentioned it, and I mean to cut you off, but you mentioned the Carolina Panthers. They've really stolen the national spotlight. And if you're the Cardinals, or if you're a Cardinal fan, that's great.
Sure.
You don't want the target on your back. You want to be the team that's, under the radar, comparably to the Carolina Panthers. You know, you don't want to be front and center, people waiting for you to lose your first game. If anything, it's been good for this team from a national perspective to kind of be riding the coattails into the playoffs of the Panthers, in my opinion.
But they keep ending up on national television, undefeated on national television. And right now, if you're any team in the NFL, do you want to go up against the Cardinals secondary and the way Honey Badger's playing and the way Patrick Peterson is locking guys down, and you have Dwight Freeney finding the fountain of youth with the spin move last week to beat the Minnesota Vikings. You have Chandler Catanzaro named NFC Special Teams Player of the Week today, and Carson Palmer, you got to make a case for the guy to be MVP. I mean, he has eclipsed Kurt Warner's touchdown throws record here. He eclipsed it last week. He's passed Kurt Warner. So my question to you, when this is all said and done, could we say Carson Palmer had a better year than Kurt Warner? Does he have to make a Super Bowl run to do that?
And you know what's interesting? Because it's hard to compare those two seasons. Because this year, despite the fact that there are a lot more wins than they had in 2008 and then in 2009, despite the fact that they've been a little bit better defensively this season, it's almost felt like this team has been a little bit scarier to watch at times over the course of a season and not as fluid as those teams were, because when Kurt Warner was on, those offenses were clicking and they couldn't be stopped. At times this year, it seemed like the Cardinals offense is getting a little stagnant and they need to put together some big crucial drives. It's almost been more stressful this time, even though Palmer statistically has had a better year than Warner ever had, and the offense is still putting up great numbers, and the defense is better. But it's funny how this has been kind of a more stressful year, maybe because maybe the expectations are higher, or maybe the Super Bowl hopes are maybe more possible than they were those years, where it's like, well, it's still the Cardinals, you know. But it's just, I find that interesting when you compare those teams and those quarterbacks.
Well, if you go back to the Seattle game and you look at Palmer putting the ball on the ground twice and Seattle scoring and then marching the team right back down the field to secure the game. And last week, things were a little clunky, but they had the two chunk plays. They had a long touchdown pass to John Brown, and then Michael Floyd and Larry Fitzgerald standing in the same spot. It wasn't pretty. Carson Palmer threw it to two guys. Floyd caught it. Fitzgerald blocked for him. That wasn't the most efficient. I don't think they've played their best game yet. I don't think they've really put it together yet, but the amount of talent, especially in the defensive backfield and skill positions here, is scary. And that's why I say I think the Cardinals, if barring an injury to Carson Palmer, there's no reason to think that they can't make a run to the Super Bowl this year.
That's Mark McClune of CBS 5 Sports. I'm Jared Cohen. We're filling in for Brad Sesmat today. Hey, if I'm not mistaken, Eric Sorensen, Brad might be talking to Will Smith as we speak.
Literally, he is in your favorite word, literally.
Literally.
He is in New York City. He screened the movie last night. He was very open on text message about how excited he was to screen it, and who
he was a little giddy,
and who he bumped elbows with. Like, I should be impressed that he got to sit next to Stephen A. Smith. Woo! Great.
Name dropping. Scott Van Pelt. Yeah.
Nice effort.
I am jealous.
Yeah, I think today is the day, the big sit down. So.
When should we expect Stephen A. Smith to make an appearance here on the show?
Like never.
I think Brad probably got his number, knowing Brad. But I don't know.
Maybe.
Are you just not going to call him? He'll say we should get him. And
no, but
say,
Brad and I fight over guests all the time. So I'll
but you know whose
I'll
number
have to
I
draw
want,
a line in the sand.
I want him to get Will Smith's number, you know, just so I can hang out with him, because Will Smith is probably one of my all-time favorite actors.
Maybe have him over for dinner sometime?
I would like that. You know, I know of a good party coming up on Sunday. So, you know, maybe we can have him over for that. Either way, that's Mark McClune. I'm Jared Cohen filling in for Brad today. I want to put you on the spot here, right?
Because that's why I come in here.
It is why. Yeah. You know, I like to keep you on your toes. The player outside of the obvious, and how obvious I'm talking Carson Palmer, Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, that is one of the best storylines on this Cardinals team.
Kevin Minter,
you
quarterback.
Took the guy
of the
I was going to take.
I went. We were live.
That is
on
the guy
CBS
I was going to take.
Yeah, he's. Have you spoken with him this year?
I find him
fascinating. He's very analytical. He's completely in his playbook. Everything he says is interesting, but he doesn't give away strategy. He's the first guy, when I walked in the Cardinal locker room on Thursday after the win over the Vikings, I had to get something and get it on the air immediately because we were live on CBS 5. Walked up to Kevin Minter, and I didn't want the conversation to end because he talked about Adrian Peterson got loose, made one of the best runs I've ever seen live for the first touchdown run for the Vikings. And then after that, the defense was able to bottle him up. And you have to tip your cap to James Betcher for making adjustments. But the way Adrian Peterson played the first quarter against the Cardinals last week, I'm surprised the Cardinals were able to come away with the win. So I know, as I say here, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a Super Bowl run. There's a lot of good, but there's also a lot to clean up if you're a coach for the Cardinals.
Right, run now. Defense has definitely been the one thing that has been the head scratcher. That has been difficult. There's no question about it. I mean, you go back to week one with what Mark Ingram was able to do out of the backfield, and then what Todd Gurley did in his breakout game, and even Carlos Hyde. You know, people forget that 49ers-Cardinals game where the Cardinals just like walloped them. The game was over before it started. As that game progressed, they couldn't stop Carlos Hyde. So if you watch that game from start to finish, you kind of remember that wasn't the prettiest showing. You know, maybe they had checked out in that game too because they were up by so much and it was basically over. And Colin Kaepernick was the best player on the team. But the run defense worries me. That's definitely something to keep out for. But Kevin Minter, one of the best stories of that question.
Who's your guy?
Really quickly.
Other than Kevin Minter.
Really quickly, Marcus Golden was a guy I wasn't expecting to have such a great impact early, and I think he's going to be a...
And how great is it to have Dwight Freeney there to work with him right now?
Yeah, even Calais, too. You know, it's going to do wonders for that guy going forward. That's Mark McClune of CBS 5 Sports. I'm Jared Cohen. We're filling in for Brad today. Coming up next, get your fantasy teams and get your fantasy rosters in front of you. Take a look at the waiver wire. Michael Fabiano joins us next, and he's got some great information coming up about running backs, so make sure you tune in.
Who are these guys?
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's the Brad Sesmatch Show on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. It's the best time of the week, in my opinion, on the Brad Sesmatch Show. That's Mark McClune. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad Sesmatch today. And it's time for Michael Fabiano, the NFL Network, NFL Media Senior Fantasy Analyst, joining us on the show like he does each and every week. Michael, I'm just going to throw this one your way because this is just, it's gotten out of control. The running back situation in fantasy football, it has affected me, despite the fact that I'm still alive on a team with a team or two. But the whole running back situation is out of control. So who are the guys that you're keeping an eye on? Who are the guys that you trust going forward in the playoffs? It's just, it's out of control. And I'm curious to see who your number ones are outside of the obvious.
Well, listen, I mean, David Johnson, Arizona fans will love that. I think he's a top five running back right now and maybe for the rest of the season, as long as he's the featured guy there. Bruce Arians, by the way, is my favorite coach in the National Football League.
Yeah,
because
he's great.
When a running back goes down, he doesn't go committee. He goes featured back, featured back, featured back. And believe me, if I can kiss the man on the cheek, I would, because he makes my job a heck of a lot easier. You've got to look at the matchups, to be quite honest with you right now. That's going to be your best friend because, listen, Jamal Charles, Arian Foster, Le'Veon Bell, Marshawn Lynch, now Thomas Rawls. It's ridiculous. The injuries this year have been terrible. Luckily, if you handcuffed D'Angelo Williams to Bell or you picked him up off the waiver wire, well, you're sitting pretty. Lamar Miller's got a great matchup this week against San Diego. Chris Ivory's been a really good value. Doug Martin has been tremendous. Eddie Lacy, three of his last four games have been really good. The running backs that you need to pick up off the waiver wire this week, if you haven't already, Denard Robinson, assuming T.J. Yeldon doesn't play, he is an RB2 against Atlanta. Bryce Brown, who hasn't had a carry in the league in about a year, is now looking like the number one running back in Seattle against the Browns. So believe it or not, a guy who hasn't played a lick could actually help you get to the fantasy championship. Brandon Bolden with LeGarrette Blount out, okay? He should see most of the carries, although it's impossible to predict Bill Belichick. He's worth starting this week. And if Jonathan Stewart can't play, Cameron Artis Payne, the rookie out of Auburn, is all of a sudden a pretty good play. I know. We're playing, guys. Listen, I tweeted out this morning. I said, it's been a crazy season in fantasy football, and I know that because in three leagues, I was able to grab Brandon Bolden, Tim Hightower, and Bryce Brown, and I'm excited about it.
Yeah, Tim Hightower, who starred for the Cardinals back in 2009, is once again in the NFL and contributing on your fantasy team. I guess if you would have held him on your team for a couple years, you'd be in good shape right now.
Yeah, he was a decent fantasy back for a little while he was in Arizona, too. This season has been ridiculous.
Is Hightower a reliable guy to have going forward based on the production you saw to Mark Ingram?
Well, listen, he had 29 touches last week, and right now the matchups are important, but volume is just as important because if a guy is going to give you 20 carries or 20 to 25 touches in a game, based on the state of the running back position, he's a good play. Darren McFadden hasn't been particularly impressive this year, but he's getting a lot of touches, and that makes him valuable. You're going to see that with Bryce Brown this week, potentially with Bolden this week, with David Johnson, with potentially Denard Robinson and Artis Payne as well. So that's what you're looking for. Matchups are important. I understand that. That's what I study and I know. But volume is pretty important, too, when the position is as thin as it is right now, and it's paper thin.
Michael Fabiano joining us here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. So outside, to get away from the stressful running back topic, I've gotten some questions about Eli Manning. You know, some people who own Eli Manning have seen the amazing positives like Monday night and against the Saints, or the lowest of lows where he's barely been able to crack 10 points. So a couple people ask, Eli Manning over Tyrod Taylor or Eli Manning over Ryan Tannehill or Alex Smith? Those are some of the questions we got about Eli.
Eli scares me this week, and people are going to be like, well, he had a great game last week. Well, it's against the Dolphins. Their defense stinks. Their jerseys, those throwback jerseys,
those
are wonderful.
Sick. Did you see those?
Yeah. Dude, yeah, listen, they need to lose the Stormtroopers look right now.
I know. Those jerseys are great, and to be quite honest with you, that made watching the game more enjoyable for me because I played somebody who had Odell Beckham Jr., so that was not good. But anyways, I don't like them this week, not against Carolina. If you look at Carolina's defense – listen, it's pretty good. In fact, they've given up an average, fewer than 14 fantasy points a game to quarterbacks. And here's another thing. Now, I am playing against Odell Beckham Jr. in two leagues this week. And I actually like that because he's going up against Josh Norman. And I'm not telling you to bench Odell Beckham Jr., okay? My start him and sit him column is out. He's listed as a sit him, but you have to read what I wrote about him, okay? I know you have to play him. He's maybe one of the three best fantasy receivers in the league, if he's not the best. But Josh Norman has shut down Julio Jones last week, Nuke Hopkins, Mike Evans, Dez Bryant, T.Y. Hilton. Okay, this guy is no joke. He has been a statistical death sentence for wide receivers this year. And if you're expecting double-digit points in a standard scoring system from OBJ, I think you might be disappointed. I'm just putting it out there. In a season where we've seen a lot of big names disappoint, OBJ has been one of the bright spots, but I am worried about this week's matchup. Again, I'm not saying to sit him, but I'm worried about this matchup, and that affects Eli Manning, because if his number one option is being shut down by Norman, well, he's looking at Reuben Randall, Will Tye, and a bunch of underwhelming running backs.
All right, conundrum of the week, and this is not my my fantasy team. I was asked about this at work. Starting quarterback on a buddy's team, Andy Dalton, goes out. So he has to choose between Blaine Gabbert and A.J. McCarron, both playing each other this week. Which one would you take in that situation to pick up on the
waiver? There's nobody else out there. Is that right?
That's what I said.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else out there. Like, he can't pick up Ryan Fitzpatrick, there's no, like Alex Smith, you can't pick him up.
Do you like T.J. Yates, maybe?
There we go.
Listen, I mean, you know what? I guess I'd go McCarron in that spot because of the matchups, but I'm surprised there's not a better, I mean, unless it's a 14 or 16 team league, I'm surprised there's actually not a better option on the waiver wire, to be quite honest with you. I mean, McCarron did have a decent game last week. He had a couple of picks. San Francisco's not exactly the best defense in the league. So McCarron would be the guy that I would go with. But again, I'm just really surprised that there aren't alternative options on the waiver wire. And, in leagues that I'm in, heck, I've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick still available, which to me is completely insane. But, if you can't pick up Fitzpatrick or you can't pick up Alex Smith, I guess you're going with AJ McCarron.
It was one of those deals where you saw him and his head was in his hands.
Yeah.
He knew it was over. He was unwilling to admit
it. I've been in that situation a lot this year.
Yeah.
Because, listen, I know nobody wants to, you know, hear about other people's fantasy teams. I'm in eight leagues. I lost Arian Foster in six. I lost Le'Veon Bell in four. I lost Keenan Allen in two. I lost Julian Edelman in two. I've lost Tyler Eifert now. I'm in one league. I run a league for Brian McCann, the Yankees catcher. And on that team, okay, I had Bell. I had Foster. I had Allen. I had Edelman. I have Eifert, okay? And I still have Devontae Freeman, and I had Tom Brady on that team. Oh. Like, that team was
so you
the
had a
best
championship
team ever.
On a
ever.
Bowl.
And now this week, and I'm not kidding you, I'm starting Matt Stafford, I'm starting Bryce Brown, I'm starting Tim Hightower, and Ted Ginn.
Ted Ginn.
I'm sorry.
That's what it's come down to.
Sorry.
And I was the number one seed.
I share your pain, Michael. On my most competitive league, I lost Le'Veon Bell, Chris Johnson, now looks like Jonathan Stewart, Deion Lewis, all on the same team in a PPR league that was loaded with wide receivers. So I had the championship gift wrapped until that all went down.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. This year has been a true test of the knowledge and diligence of fantasy owners, that is for sure.
I got a question here, a starter sit. Someone's dealing with the Jonathan Stewart situation, like I mentioned, you mentioned earlier. So they have they're handcuffing him with Denard Robinson, but they're wondering in the flex spot, Denard Robinson or Michael Crabtree if Jonathan Stewart plays.
Well, I think Robinson's a great play as long as Yeldon's out. I really do, and I'd play him over Crabtree. I typically go with running backs over wide receivers where I can in flex positions because I know running backs are going to get touches. So assuming Yeldon is out, the guy to go with is definitely Robinson. Again, if Stewart plays, he's got a great matchup. Mm-hmm. The Giants' run defense stinks. I mean, we saw what Lamar Miller did to them last week. So keep tabs on his status, but if Stewart can't play, Robinson is a very good alternative this week, assuming Yeldon's out.
Hey, how do you account for the wide receivers going up against the Cardinals secondary, specifically Patrick Peterson?
I don't want anything to do with the Eagles wide receivers this week. Nothing. I don't want anything to do with any Eagles this week. Maybe Zach Ertz. That's about it. DeMarco Murray has been an enormous bust, bigger than I thought he was going to be. The running back position, you got three guys in there, and maybe four if they keep Barnard active. Jordan Matthews has been a disappointment. I'm starting Nelson Aguilar. I'm not starting any of the Eagles wide receivers. To be quite honest with you, Ertz is probably the only attractive Eagle that I would play, and that's only because the tight end position is just anemic right now. On the Cardinals side of the ball, you're starting everybody. You're starting Johnson. You're starting Carson. You're starting Fitz, who's got a really good track record against Philadelphia. You're starting John Brown. You're starting Michael Floyd.
Good stuff. Michael Fabiano joining us here on the on the Brad Sesmatch Show from the NFL Network, senior fantasy analyst. One more for you, Michael, and then we'll call it a day. I know the moniker is one game at a time, and if you're in the fantasy semifinals, you got to focus on that before the championship. But are there a couple guys that you've circled outside of the obvious who are, you know, great plays for 2 weeks going forward rather than just the 1 week or looking too far ahead?
I mean, I'm not looking at players so much as I'm looking at matchups. I'm looking at, you know, who's playing the Saints, for example, coming up in week 16. And that would be Jacksonville, which means Blake Bortles is going to help you win a championship. I'm looking at teams like Atlanta, okay? They can't stop the run, and that team is a mess. And they're playing Carolina. Oh, by the way, Julio Jones has got to go up against Josh Norman again. I'm looking at a team like the Giants, right? Their run defense is terrible, and they're playing Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson is going to run all over them in Week 16. And I'm also looking at the teams that are very strong. So if you get to the championship Week 16, Todd Gurley's got to play in Seattle. That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. And right now, the position that you can sort of go out on the waiver wire and pick up, the two positions really are defenses and quarterbacks. So if you need a quarterback heading into Week 16, assuming you think you're going to win this week, you've got to look at those matchups, especially if you don't have a QB that you really like. Maybe you're streaming QBs week to week. And defenses, too. I mean, I had a bye in a few of my leagues, so I went ahead, looked at the Week 15 matchups, and picked up defenses based on those games. So But overall, I do think that you're looking at this 1 week at a time. I wouldn't drop a player that you could potentially use to pick up a guy who is going to be a favorable matchup in a week where you don't even know if you're alive. So just keep tabs on the matchups. And you also have to keep tabs, number one, on which teams may start resting players in week 16. Hopefully it will be none of them. And you also, if you have dead wood on your roster, which I like to call, hey, grab the handcuff of your number one running back. And I don't even care if it's Jordan Todman for D'Angelo Williams. The running back position has been so injury-prone this year. It's a smart move.
I think we should have played, is he an NFL running back? or does he work in business in this town? I mean, I've never heard of any of these guys. And Blake Bortles might lead you to championships. This is an unbelievable fantasy season.
Yeah. Hey, listen, over the last couple of weeks, Tom Brady and Marcus Mariota combined have had more yards than Dez Bryant. It's insane. Wow. It's insane. Yeah, and I get paid to predict this stuff. It's not easy.
Michael, good luck with your running back duo of Hightower and Bryce Brown. We wish you the best.
Hey, listen, I'm excited about it. Heck, only in a season as crazy as this can I be excited about a duo of Hightower and Bryce Brown.
What a rush. What a rush that's going to be.
I can't wait to lose.
Can't wait to follow you on Twitter this weekend. Mike, thanks so much for your time.
See you guys.
All right, that's Michael Fabiano, NFL Network senior fantasy analyst, joining us on the Brad Sesmat Show. That's Mark McClune. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad Sesmat on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. It's the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. I'm Jared Cohen. That's Mark McClune filling in for Brad today on the show. And next here on the program, we've got a very great guest here. I'm really excited about it. Bob Hurley, the head coach of St. Anthony Basketball in New Jersey, and also the father of Bobby Hurley, Arizona State's head basketball coach, joins us on the show. They're coming out here to Phoenix, to Scottsdale in particular, this weekend to play in the Hoop Hall Classic. A lot of great games, some local teams going up against some great national teams, and St. Anthony is right in the middle of it. So, Coach, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Yeah, we're excited we're excited, number one, to open up our season. And, high school, you rarely travel. So for us to open up the season and be able to go out to Arizona is, even though the weather here is amazingly warm, it's going to be really nice for us to go out there.
Now, Coach, you probably haven't had Phoenix or Arizona basketball in general really on your radar at all. But now in the last year, you have your son taking over head coach at ASU. And I want to focus at this point more so on the high school basketball end, because you're facing some former state champions this weekend. What have you seen in your career from Arizona basketball, if anything at all, because you haven't really had to focus on it? And how have you seen it grown?
Well, we've actually, once the Hoop Hall told us about the opportunity to come out here, we started to, do our background on possible teams we were going to play. And, I'm well aware of Arizona basketball. I'm a high school basketball guy, so I have followed over the years. We have nothing but respect for what we're going to be getting into when we get there. And we know that both Corona del Sol, with this amazing run that they've had, and Shadow Mountain with the Bibbies, it's going to be two very unusual opening two games. Because usually in high school, you're somewhere close to home when you're opening your season, and you kind of get the kinks out being close to home. But this couldn't be further from that. Two outstanding teams. They've both played very well. They've played against really good opponents already, and we're on our opening game on Friday night is on CBS Sports Network, which never happens in high school. So there's a bunch of things surrounding it that it'll make it even more nerve-wracking than usual. And when you've been coaching adolescent males for a long time, you're worried about everything that's going on because they're such knuckleheads.
Coach, back when Bobby was in high school, and as long as you've been around the high school game, was there ever a time where you opened the season on national television?
No, never. 40 years, a few times, not a lot of times, maybe less than a half a dozen times, we have traveled and opened the season in a tournament out of, say, over 40 years. Because usually it's a post-Christmas that makes sense for a New Jersey team, because we can't start playing until this Friday. So it's, the way the National Federation goes with basketball is they allow the individual states to dictate when they start. And our state is so dominated by football administrators that now that football playoffs are done, we're now able to start playing. So I think we're one of the latest in the country. And it really hurts us in the beginning of the year, but that's just, you know, that's the way it's been. It's been like that for a long time. It's nothing new, and it's up to us to try to get out there and act like we've been doing this for a while, and actually we've only been together for a couple of weeks.
Coach, talk about some of the players you're bringing across the country. I know one in particular is committed to Georgetown. What are you guys going to be showcasing this weekend?
Yeah, well, we're a mystery team to me. And, you know, one of the few things that I can tell you that there's some stability is that Mosley will come into the tournament with 3 years of varsity experience. He's looked very good in scrimmages. And he will be, you know, the way he goes, we go. And then we have an awful lot of other players that are either first-time starters or their role has expanded a great deal. And in the scrimmages, we have been all over the map. So we have four kids that have accepted scholarships already. We have a kid, Caleb Bishop, who's about 6'8", who's going to Fairleigh Dickinson, and a guard named Asante Gist, who's going to Eastern Kentucky, and a guard, Shaquan Gibbs, who's going to NJIT. And we have other kids that potentially could be college players down the road, but they're either first-time varsity players with us or their roles went from being a role player as a junior to having a much more expanded role as a senior. And until you play it out for a while, you're not quite sure. And there's no question that Friday and Saturday for us is like opening night on Broadway. The lights are going to go on, and then we'll gulp and we'll say, all right, who looks like they're okay for this? And then what do we do? And that's what's fun about it. That's also what's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be a little warmer than it is right now, a little cold. We had to cover the plants last night here in Arizona.
Yeah.
But as you look at the Bibby kid and kind of have scouted him a little bit, what does he bring to the table? What's your biggest challenge there?
Well, now that he's healthy, right, he's getting a chance to play, I think people are starting to see what the potential is. And I don't know how close he is now to 100% after the knee injury, I believe. But he is, you know, he has a terrific offensive ability. He's going to be a, you know, very difficult. Just like in the guards in our first game, the three guards from Corona del Sol are all excellent players. Bibby, you know, presents the one-prong attack there. He and their big player are two players you have to try to, you know, limit how much they hurt you. And I know that they'll play you know, very, very sophisticated offensively. They will be looking to really stretch us out and attack us. And it'll be terrific when we're getting on the plane Sunday morning, heading home. You know, we'll be in Arizona from Thursday at noon until in the morning on Sunday at 7:30. But it's a business trip, so as much as it's, you know, we'll get a chance to go to Arizona, we will rarely be outside because we'll be going from the bus to practice to the game. We'll be going to see Arizona State play. So we're kind of packing a lot of stuff in. And in the midst of it, you know, we've been watching film on these two teams for about a week and a half now.
And let's talk about that a little bit. Coach Bob Hurley Sr. joining us here on the Brad Sesmatch Show. You're going to see Arizona State play. Kind of a roller coaster year for your son as the head coach. He starts off with some tough losses, but then bounces back with wins over Creighton and then a win over what was that other win they had over? That was a big
Texas
one.
A&M.
Texas A&M.
Yeah,
that was a huge one.
Texas
and then they traveled to Lexington, gave a good fight in the first half. That's just a tough place to play. How would you assess how Bobby Hurley is doing so far at ASU? And what has been your thoughts, and what is he saying about how things are going?
Well, I think from observing them live opening game against Sacramento State and then seeing them, you know, over the course of time, I think they're comfortable now. The group is comfortable doing what they're trying to do. And now after watching them for a while, they're just, they're probably two players short. They need at least one more front court player. They just don't have enough depth inside. And another, like, traditional three-man, like a 6'5", 6'6", kid who is kind of a small forward, can play in around the basket, but also can play away from the basket. And they really either have guards or they only have four bigs. So I think that they, I think they've figured out now how they have to play. But the roster is not as deep as it needs to be. And I think as they get into the league play now, they have to really avoid injury. They have to avoid foul trouble. And they've got to really work so that they can use the players that they have, because I think probably they're just playing with a little bit less depth than most of the Pac-12 will have.
You know, there was some talk the Sac State game that I think it was, you'd never seen him win live when he was coaching in college. Is there some trepidation about you showing up on Saturday night for Houston Baptist, or was that taken care of? Were you able to see the first win?
Let's leave it at you know, we will attend the game on Saturday, and I'll be just as nervous about his game as I will be my game at night. And I think from that you can read what our record is right now, my wife and I, of late watching the play.
Good stuff, Coach Hurley. Hey, I'm really excited to see your guys in action this weekend at the Hoop Hall, Hoop Hall West tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun, and safe travels out here, all right?
I can't wait. We'll see you guys in the next couple of days.
Great. Thanks a lot. That's Coach Bob Hurley Sr., the head coach of St. Anthony's basketball, also the father of Bobby Hurley, the head coach over at Arizona State. It's going to make it a nice, full basketball weekend.
Cool.
It sounds like fun.
That was cool to talk to him.
Yeah, a lot of fun. That's Mark McClune, CBS 5 Sports. I'm Jared Cohen. We're filling in for Brad Sesmat today on Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports. It's the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports. Mark McClune of CBS 5 Sports. I'm Jared Cohen. We're filling in for Brad today, who just sent me a picture of him sitting with Will Smith. So what are you doing today, Mark?
You know what? We just talked with Bob Hurley Sr. So I
That's
think
pretty
that,
cool.
That was, yeah, it's been a good day so
and
far.
And a fantasy football Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano.
Yeah,
so
which,
take that,
well,
that, Brad.
That was
and
the
your Will Smith photo.
That was the most ridiculous and entertaining fantasy football conversation I've ever had.
It really was, wasn't it? Like,
is he a running back or is he a pro golfer? We don't know. We've never heard of any of these guys, but you're trying to win a title.
Cameron Artis Payne, Bryce Brown, Tim Hightower.
Yes.
Like these are guys that if you that the Yahoo might not have even had listed as players that you could pick up in fantasy
right.
at the beginning of the year. And they've had to add them to the system.
Yeah, if you would have hung on to Timmy Hightower from 09, you'd be in great
shape.
Keeper right
league,
now.
You know, yeah, if you yeah. said, you know what, he's going to have a resurgence in 2015, so I'm going to hold on to him for four or five years.
Got a little dicey in 2012 and 2013 when he was out of the league.
Yeah, exactly. You know, people were questioning that motive, but I knew in 2015 yes. when I needed to win a fantasy championship that it was going to be Timmy Hightower.
Stay the course.
But how ironic, he's coming back with the Saints. Probably the best highlight of his career as a Cardinal was that long touchdown run at the beginning of that Saints game, which they ended up losing.
Right.
But how exciting was that? The first play from line of scrimmage in that game against the Saints in the playoffs?
You go back to the Packer game that you were at and Warner putting up the crazy numbers against Aaron Rodgers and the Cardinals pulling that out with the Dansby touchdown. And then the Saints and Timmy Hightower taking it to the house. And you're thinking, Cardinals are going back to the Super Bowl, and then Greg Williams and the Saints defense threw the switch, and I think that's when Kurt Warner decided, you know.
And Bounty Gate happened, right?
I could probably still play in this league, but not behind this offensive line.
And that hit really hurt.
Yes.
That one hurt. So, anyways, that's Mark McClune. I'm Jared Cohen filling in for Brad today. So, last night, N'Keal Harry, the Chandler High School football star, made it onto SportsCenter, and you must be wondering, isn't football season over?
Well, Andy made it on the CBS 5 Sports Report.
And the CBS 5 Sports Report, too. Yeah. Can't throw that out. No, absolutely not. But the video went viral on Twitter because he also happens to be a stud basketball player, and this happens. Look out!
Daryl Dawkins style.
I mean, come on. The backboard shatters. People don't know what to do with each other.
I love everybody jumping around too, because the game's over. You can't play. It's attached to the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not like they bring in another retractable hoop out like they could at America West Arena, you know, when Shaq brought the hoop down back in the day. But this shattered the glass, and N'Keal Harry, because of it, had this video go viral. A special shout out to Jose Garcia from AIA 365 and also Chandler High School for shooting this video out to sea. But how cool is that, man? I mean, you said it when we saw the video this morning before the show started, that not necessarily how cool for N'Keal Harry, but with where we hope to see N'Keal Harry ending up, how cool for the kids at Mountain View High School to say, Man, I remember when I played basketball against N'Keal Harry at Chandler High School, and he shattered the glass.
Well, first there were two guys from Mountain View, and if we see it again, there's one guy who jumped over the top of him, tried to block the shot. There's another guy who's just standing there
under the glass,
marveling at the dunk, and the glass kind of comes down on his head, and it's like, I should probably move out of the way, but yeah, you see him right there. How great of a story is that going to be to tell, especially if N'Keal Harry goes on to ASU, does what he did at Chandler High, and maybe one day potentially ends up playing at the next level? You could say, you could be sitting here with your buddies 10 years, 20 years from now and be like, hey, want to go to YouTube and see when he shattered the backboard on top of my head?
Yeah, you know, and I can't go to YouTube and do this, but I'm sitting with a buddy here, and I like to recall I played at Pinnacle High School basketball, and Pinnacle back then used to host summer league tournaments. Or summer league games. And back then, Deer Valley was just a powerhouse. And I can't remember who did it in that game, but Deer Valley had a player that I think he shattered the glass and broke the backboard. And on that team, Lawrence Hill, who went to Stanford, Joey Shaw, who went to Indiana, Jeremy Brooks, who played D2 basketball, Christian Polk, who went on to ASU, and who am I missing? Elijah Davis, who played college football at the next level. So I'm playing against who I call the best starting five, the best basketball team to not win a state championship in the state's history. You could rival that with what Basha had a few years back with Jerron Hopkins and Torin Jones and Kirby. But so anyways, the hoop shatters. But at Pinnacle, at least, you have that big section of bleachers that covers a second hoop in the main gym. A second court in the main gym. So they took 40 minutes to push the bleachers back. They wiped up the court to clean it off. And we played the rest of the game on the second court. And all the fans that were on the other side had to watch the game from bleachers across two courts. But I'll never forget that. Unfortunately, we can't go back to YouTube and see it. It was just a measly summer league game. But I'll never forget that. It was pretty cool. So
does
cool
video exist?
No.
You think?
I mean, shoot, that was maybe 2004, 2003. That was before Twitter.
You know, guys, we can't do that. We can't do that. But what we can do with modern technology, thanks to our technical director Jared Nielsen, he's going to run this back in slow motion, just for effect.
So we can. I want to hear the CBS 5 reaction play by play of what we're seeing. Maybe we can do an ESPN 8 The Ocho reaction.
Oh, now here's Harry with the basketball, and it's ahead to Harry. He's going up for the slam. Look out.
Pow! Right in the kisser.
An earth-shattering performance here from Harry at Chandler High in the House of Pain.
N'Keal Harry shatters the backboard. Bold move, Cotton. Let's see if it works out for him.
Straight out of the Ocho, for sure.
Straight out of the Ocho.
You know, I don't normally dial up the Ocho Saints until about 5 o'clock, but definitely when that came in,
did it
was
feel nice to do it at 10 a.m.?
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about it before we call it quits, though. So N'Keal Harry going to ASU. ASU's got a bowl game coming up. They're playing locally at the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. U of A playing in a bowl game this weekend against New Mexico. Your overall local bowl games, is there any intrigue to these to you? What are you watching for?
We were just talking about that. ASU going out to practice. We got some sound. We got some sound from the offensive coordinator. Got some sound yesterday on the two guys that got dismissed from the team. I don't really feel like ASU football is moving the needle right now. Hopefully they get a good showing there January 2nd. But if you look at all the sports right now in the Valley of the Sun after Christmas, you got the Packers in town. You got LeBron in town. The Blackhawks are in town. You have Ohio State and Notre Dame. Then you have ASU and West Virginia on Saturday, and it'll be cool to see the game inside the baseball stadium. But right after that, you have the Seahawks in town to play the Cardinals, and ASU-U of A basketball, which I'm more excited for than the bowl game right now.
And then the national championship game.
Right! We don't even... Yes!
And ASU's beating U of A.
Is there a better place
in
the world right now to watch
sports?
Yeah.
It's the first time Hurley goes up against Miller. So it's interesting because you get the pulse of the fans and things like that with what you do on a daily basis. And it's just interesting, at U of A side of things, people were talking a lot about Brandon Dawkins when he came in for Gerard Randall and took over after New Solomon was hurt in that Territorial Cup game. People are like, this guy can play. So is there a quarterback controversy? But is that turning the needle at all with all the other things going on? I think a lot of U of A fans have shifted their gears to basketball what's going on down there with Sean Miller. So it's still bowl games, though. U of A coming up this weekend, and ASU coming up at the Cactus Bowl. Your thoughts really quickly before we call it quits here today on Phoenix Suns basketball.
Man, two steps forward, two steps back. Yeah, there's moments of hope and then 5 minutes of nothing. I think Brandon Knight is definitely a watch. John Lewis playing over his
Johnny
skis.
Badger.
Johnny Badger, yeah. I think Teletovich, there's something there, the game winner against the Bulls, but Eric Bledsoe turnover prone, and it's just, you know, I'm glad we're getting this monster sports week, because I think it's going to be a kind of a quiet spring around here with Mike Smith injured and the Suns just kind of wallowing around the eighth spot.
What's not being talked about is Brandon Knight's first rematch with Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That is going on at the exact same time as the Cardinals-Eagles game, so I'm sure not very many will be watching it, but Brandon Knight is going to be taking on his former team.
It'll be TiVo'd at the McLoone House.
That's Mark McLoone, CBS 5 Sports. I'm Jared Cohen, filling in for Brad Sesmat on the Brad Sesmat Show, Sports 360 AZ and AZ Central Sports.